I'm going to be at the Beatnik in Brooklyn watching it with a bunch of other beer nerds, which I think is pretty awesome. Of course it means that I've also got to safely bring my sour lambic home on L train afterward.
Welcome to episode 63 of Mets on Tap, a drinking podcast on barleypros.com talking about Mets baseball. Pour yourself a beer, take out a second mortgage and grab a seat in the bleachers for the playoffs and have a chat with us. I'm Michael here today with Jason. Hey, Jason.
Good evening, Mike. I'm curious. We may as well start off with that topic in lieu of talking about all the great number 63 Mets and Mets history. I haven't priced any postseason tickets, being that I live a couple hundred miles away from New York. Are they very expensive this year?
They are very bad. I couldn't even tell you because I just looked and like, you know what? I'll go to a World Series game if they make it.
Yeah.
That was my response to the price.
They're that bad, huh?
I think it'd be like $200 to go even to the wild card.
And that's for an upper deck seat, like one seat.
Yeah, that's like promenade. Yeah, like you're not. Yeah. Man,
that's goofy. Like, I'm sure that the season ticket holders and the partial plan people got better prices than that, but still, that's
really I think they probably got a 10% discount, and that's probably the extent.
You think that's it?
That's it. They didn't get it, but yeah, no, they didn't get a discount. No.
Well, as long as they're not crying poor over not re-signing guys next year after that kind of soaking, you know,
right.
It's too bad that they're pricing out. I had it over mind also something similar to think, well, if I'm going to go, I'll wait and see if there's, you know, a chance they get to the LCS or the World Series to get tickets just for my son and I and drive down. But yeah, hundreds of dollars per seat. I mean, it might as well be an NFL game, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, I could buy a ticket tomorrow for tomorrow's game. Two postseason in the clubhouse. I don't know what the clubhouse is. 144. I think that's like that dead center seat under the bridge for 206 plus, you know, whatever ridiculous fees they are.
For outfield seats.
Yeah, those are for outfield seats. That's just for tomorrow. So they are. I mean, it's mostly sold out. But that's game one. I feel like people weren't planning to go to the wild card, so that may play in.
Yeah, I can see that.
It sort of jumped up. We didn't talk about it. So we haven't talked about that since we recorded last. That we were happy because the Mets won the game we were playing. It looked like they were taking a nice lead, and then they just decided they weren't going to play in Atlanta. And
yeah, if I remember right, we recorded Thursday last week too, and it was the Escobar game, and they came back and won that game.
Yep.
And then they spent the next 3 days being terrible in Atlanta. And then after that, snapped right out of it and spent 3 days stomping the Nationals. And even an appearance from the artist formerly known as James McCann, of all things.
Well, the last game doesn't count. That's one of those, like, stats don't count in April and September kind of things. Like, the last game of the season against the Nationals, you know, you get Nelson Figueroa throwing complete game shutouts. And
you know, it's funny, too, because they did that in, I want to say, 1998. Eight or nine, one of those seasons. And I remember it only because I'd bought tickets. It was a year where they were good. And I bought a seat for myself and my brother, who was living in New Jersey at the time. And I'm like, we're going to meet. We're going to go to a Braves Mets game. It's going to be the last week of the season. It's going to be fantastic, very dramatic. And what happened? The Braves clinched the division the night before that. Mm-hmm. And so we got there the next day. And the Mets steamrolled the Braves because that game didn't mean anything. Like, it was all scrubs and
right.
You know, and it's like, there's the same thing, you know, the odds, once the Mets got out of Atlanta, the odds of them still being able to win the division were so long that there was absolutely no pressure at all. They just played tight, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. It's all the same stuff we've talked about for weeks where they've been upset with none of the home runs and these guys not coming through. And so I don't think we have to dwell on that because it's over. Tomorrow the wild card game starts. We have to, you know, pick ourselves back up and fight. And Jeff McNeil. I'm mixing up names because of McCann. McCann and McNeil. I don't know why that always, like, in my head, there's like
those are ones you should be able to distinguish those two, I would think.
Yeah, one of them hits the ball. One hits the ball and one doesn't.
Yes,
combined,
exactly.
They're one good player. but so he won the batting title. I mean, batting titles don't really mean anything, but Jeff McNeil's having an amazing season. So
you know what? He's the first Met to do it in 12 years. He's the first Met to ever lead the major leagues in batting, because the year that Jose Reyes won the batting title, whoever won it in the American League that year had a higher average than him. And he did it. Now he took off the last game, much like Jose Reyes, who came out of the last game after dropping a bunt single down. And I'm actually fine with that. The guy should win a batting title. It's been a goal of his. You know, he was always he has said publicly before that he hoped someday to be a batting champion. So power to the guy. He did have a great season. He's fun to watch. I noticed over and over again this year just how much he choked up on that bat, even in power hitting situations where he always was. And nobody holds a bat like that anymore. And, you know, I don't think that's a coincidence.
He's got that axe bat with the weird handle, too. So I don't know if that plays into, like, gives him a nice little.
I'm assuming he whittled that out of a tree that got hit by lightning. Then I don't have, you know, I think you have to prove that that didn't happen.
I think we have to go with that. That seems fair with me. It was definitely one of those lightning strikes of that hurricane sort of came by.
So Jeff McNeil won the batting title. Pete Alonso won the National League RBI title, which gets a lot less press, of course, than a batting title does.
Even,
but
even more random,
What, the run batted in?
Yeah, I mean, that's just, that's... Pete Alonso won the RBI, has the RBI title because of Jeff McNeil. Like,
being on base.
That is also credit to Jeff McNeil.
Yeah, and Lindor. I think those are the two guys.
And Lindor and Nimmo, but like in large part because
McNeil
had a,
Yeah, all those guys sitting in front of him all year. I mean, hit the ball. He hit the ball in big spots. He didn't do it this past weekend in Atlanta, but he did it all season.
I hope that means he's due. I said that about, you know, the same thing with Scherzer and DeGrom not being great the last couple starts. Like that means they're going to polish and they'll be due, and Alonso's going to hit 17 home runs over the next month, and
he's gonna be Daniel Murphy 2.0 this postseason. Let's say
he won't disappear in the World Series this time.
Oh yeah, I suppose that did happen too. I don't remember individual performances from that many years ago. Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I know that they won one game and they lost all the other ones. That's about all I could tell you that I remember from 2015. And that Eric Hosmer can die in a fire.
Screw him.
So game one tomorrow, and the pitching matchup, Max Scherzer versus Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish pitched against the Mets twice this year and really dominated them both times.
He's due for a bad start, right?
Well, and not only that, the only Met who really showed any signs of hitting against him in either game, of course, was Starling Marte, who's almost certainly not going to be able to play tomorrow.
I mean, they didn't rule it out, but that seems just like a lie to try to like
convince to string Padres him along
just to give the Padres like 15 minutes. Okay, I guess we better do some advanced scouting on Starling Marte just in case. Like that's all that was about.
Yeah, but you know, I do think he's due, and he's had his ups and downs. And this year, Darvish has been consistently pretty good, but he has certainly had hittable moments in the last few years.
Hopefully the Mets get there. Do we worry about DeGrom? He came out with a blister in a key game against Atlanta. Does he really have a blister? Is he nursing something? Is the blister itself that's still bothering him? Why did they not start him today? I'm not sure, or tomorrow rather. I'm not sure I buy it. It was just like strategy and let's do Scherzer.
Honestly, the blister, I feel like didn't even come up during the broadcast, that it came up like a day or two later. Like, it was a blood blister, which is that different from a regular blister. If you're a pitcher, I don't know if it's the same thing or not. You know, I don't know. I think it's definitely a wild card, but I would say, I think there's an equal possibility that Scherzer, who has the postseason experience recent, having won a ring a couple years ago, to let him kick off the series as a guy with the postseason background. I don't know that there's anything more to it than that. I know that, you know, if they're both healthy, that they're co-aces. And, you know, DeGrom had the opening game against Atlanta and didn't cut it. So why not flip it over? You know, if he does have a blister issue, giving him one more day. DeGrom historically, I think if you look, I of course did zero research on this topic, but I just want to believe that I'm right about this. Historically, he's pitched better and better the more and more rest he has had between starts. And
I think he's one of those guys that doesn't, he's so consistent and he's such a student of the game kind of thing, where he doesn't, like, some guys will overthrow, some guys will lose command a little bit. He's not that kind of guy. He's always so dialed in. So the extra rest, all it does is, you know, let him rest a little bit. He's not like too strong. He's just right where he needs to be. Does it mean anything? I'm not sure those things mean anything necessarily, like the days of rest thing. Like I think a lot of it's fluky and just like what game.
Yeah, who you're pitching against that day. Well,
it's not a bad thing. Scherzer won't be able to. You could bring him back in short rest, but he won't be able to pitch game one of the NLDS if he pitches tomorrow. So there is some gamesmanship here. And I don't like, you got to win the series. You got to, you can't like coast. You can't like get cute with the wild card series and be like, well, okay, we won with Scherzer. Let's not pitch to Grom on Saturday now because we're going to go to.
No.
I don't think you can do that.
I don't think Buck would do that. I think honestly, it doesn't even matter what happens in game one that DeGrom pitches game two. I don't think they push him out to a game three. I think that I am with you. The Padres actually played the Mets better than all the other playoffs teams this season, with the exception of, you know, Atlanta the last week. But I don't think that you get cute. I agree with you. It's got to be DeGrom in game two, regardless of what happens in game one. And because the LDS doesn't start until Tuesday.
Yeah.
So they do push off. And if you can win Friday and Saturday and you get 2 days off instead of one, then power to you. What my hope is that this long break, it puts the Dodgers on ice and they come out cold and flat, and the Mets can go out to Los Angeles and steal a first game or two in that series out there.
That would be the hope, I think.
Yeah, and I think so. And this format being new, I know the Dodgers obviously have postseason experience recently, but they haven't had a situation. Maybe they have. I'm, again, lack of research here. I have to assume, though, that they haven't had a scenario anytime recently where their regular season ended and then they had to wait how many days before their next game? A week almost, right? Because they would have ended ended their season yesterday.
Right.
And then they would have, so today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So they're going to have 5 days of no games before they play again. So maybe they all come out flat while the Mets, you know, come out swinging big bats and being pissed off. I feel like the Mets should have a chip on the shoulder here. I feel like that's got to be the approach, is they should be angry with themselves for not being able to close the door, especially how much they dominated against Washington. They know now that they, you know, and they led in all three of those games. And if they had held any of those leads, that they'd be getting some time off now, and then they have to be kicking themselves. So maybe they use that as, you know, their own internal fuel. I don't know. I believe in Buck. I believe in his ability to get guys geared up when he needs to. Recent series against Atlanta, notwithstanding, look, Atlanta's a great baseball team, and you can't win 70%+ of your games over months at a time unless you're a really strong team. So, you know, the Mets got beat by another very strong team. They had a tougher divisional foe than anyone else in the majors did this year.
Yeah.
And maybe. It is what it is.
If they'd won the games, you wouldn't be able to say that. But
you won
two more games against Atlanta, suddenly Atlanta doesn't win 100 games, and you're like, well, maybe not. But like, there were gettable games, and I feel like there was a lack of urgency in a couple spots. And I'm still a little bristling about Alvarez in that spot, like just throwing him into the fire like that when you couldn't bring him up 3 weeks ago for whatever reason, because he wasn't ready, but he's ready to, you know, be thrown into the fire into that spot. Like, no.
Yeah.
That's inconsistent. I don't like that process.
I agree with you. They made a mistake in not calling him up sooner. It's not like Nito and McCann have been killing the ball, that you couldn't give him a few weeks worth of starts, especially against bad teams in September.
Right.
It's exactly when you're supposed to call a guy up. But you know, I think the thing that hurts is not that they were trying to use Alvarez in big spots. The thing that hurts is that you had your best pitchers, starting pitchers, stacked up for that three games on good rest, lined up exactly the way you wanted to. And all three of them were disappointing, you know, 14 innings over three starts, 11 hits or 14 hits, 11 earned runs, seven homers, I think were the numbers I saw. That's ridiculous. Great. Those guys were awesome all year. And all three of them spit the bit that weekend. So, you know, fault the hitters. They gave each of those guys a lead, and they watched their best pitchers cough up those leads all 3 days, and it took the wind out of their sails. That's not even really something that you'd have to try and spend too much time understanding, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad break. There were other series during the way, you know, you could point to the Cubs series, the Pirates or whatever, that maybe they should have played a little better. Maybe there was a little bit less urgency around the trade deadline and different things they could have done. But at this point, like I said, it's Thursday, the game. When this airs tomorrow, I mean, this will be game day. They got to play. It is what it is. You've lost. Let's not embarrass ourselves in the playoffs now, because you don't want to drop the division and then drop the wild card. And I'm like, well, what did you do this year? Nothing. You won 100 games. Big deal.
Yeah, you know, the wild card, we're guaranteed a two-game playoff up from one game playoff that we had the most recent time the Mets made it to the postseason. So
a little bit of a safety net,
Two games, for me, I will say, is not enough playoff Mets baseball. If they only play two times, if they only play three times for that matter, I will have considered it to be not enough postseason baseball. That's my own personal slant on this season.
I go all the way through the division series. If they don't win the division series, I think it's a disappointing season. If you get to the NLCS and you lose, fine. But like,
well, yeah, but if you get to the NLCS, it means you already knocked the Dodgers off, and the Dodgers
Now it's the Dodgers that makes it different. Yeah, I mean, if you beating the Dodgers would be, that's, you expected to play them in the NLCS. Like, if you're most of the season, the Mets and the Dodgers were the two best teams in the National League, so you sort of pencil that in for the NLCS. So that's the goal. Like, that's sort of like the benchmark. You got to beat the Dodgers. You got to get to the NLCS.
I'm sure, based on the populations of those cities, that was the goal of every MLB executive and every TV network executive as well. They want a New York versus Los Angeles matchup. Yeah, I'd have to think. Yeah.
Should we talk about how bad the announcers are, or do we just chalk it up to everybody knows how bad ESPN is?
Oh my goodness, the Saturday and Sunday back-to-back broadcast, so, and they're so bad. And I thought that the Fox game was Saturday, and I thought that the Fox game was bad, but I did at least leave the sound on. I would mute commercials, but I let them talk and let them be the talking heads. The Sunday was so bad that I was muting it consistently during gameplay. And there were two things that made it terrible. One, the fawning, gushing adulation of the Braves. And the miraculous, awesome Braves, and just spewing Braves positivity, and not giving the Mets any credit for everything that they had done those few. And that was one. And then all of the other just general ESPN, Yankee loving, baseball hating garbage. They're awful. And so who is the postseason?
It's ESPN. It's the same guys. It's Carl Ravage and Buster Olney, both of who I think I have blocked on Twitter, by the way. I think they're so distasteful that I don't even want to see their takes retweeted. So
the entire wild card is on ESPN then?
The National League is. I didn't pay that much attention. Do we have a TV thing?
If you scroll down, I think it just said the channel on that same screen.
Did it say the channel?
It said TBD. I thought that said TBS for a second.
Yeah, no, this is the Mets page. If I went to the MLB page, it might do that. But yeah, the Mets are all on. I've only looked as far as the series. The wild card's on ESPN.
Okay. Yeah, there
ESPN. So that's the AL wild card is also on ESPN. It's just none of it's going to be at the same time. Some of it might get flexed to ESPN2 based on.
Yeah, I mean, at least we get prime time. At least we get prime time games. I'd be more pissed if I was East Coast bias, right? I'm going to have a 2 o'clock game for my playoff game, and you know it sucks.
Yeah, that's that little they get a little brother kind of thing. Like, New York's the big city. We hate you. Suck it up. We don't care. Some ABC games there too, which is ESPN as well. Obviously.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same crews and broadcasts, but yeah, and then we switch to TBS for the.
Divisions. No, we get Fox. Hopefully we get Fox. Well, no, that's the other series. Sorry. NLDS, ALDS. Where's the other NLDS? There. So this one would be Fox. Yeah.
Would be Fox also. So does that mean more Joe Buck?
No, Joe Buck's not doing it at all, I think.
Oh, well, there's that.
We banished Joe Buck to football. So that's a relief. I don't remember who's on the. I don't think the Fox was as bad. To me, the Fox wasn't as bad. It wasn't good.
It's Smoltz and a bunch of Yachts. Smoltz is
bad. It wasn't as bad, but.
No,
the ESPN guys just so off. And then they made a big deal out of the whole narco thing. Like, they decided to make a huge game. They're like, hey, the pitcher and the batter have the same walk-up song. We're going to battle for this. Like, yeah, this means something.
So great at connecting the dots, these guys. They're really.
And you said you muted this. I don't know if you caught that.
I probably missed all the things you're just saying. Yeah.
They compared it to, I think, the 95 NL West division race, the Mets and the Braves. And I'm like, I don't think there's a single person that's thinking about the 1995 NL West division race while I watch this game.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means, really. Those words all make sense individually, but strung together, it has no meaning.
I guess the Braves beat the Giants. I don't know.
Were the Braves in the NL West in 95?
Yeah, this was their last season in the NL West before realignment.
Fair enough.
Maybe it wasn't 95. I don't remember when we realigned. Was it 95? 94. Somewhere in the middle 90s. Yeah.
I can tell you 95 was the only year that Atlanta won the World Series because it was the first year after the strike and the less people cared and watched it than any other World Series in recent times, which I guess is good for you if you hate the Braves the way we do. But so who do you hate the most of all the teams? Let's do a hate ranking here.
Yankees and Judge. I'm tired. I just done. I've stopped.
He broke the record, though.
What record? I don't know. Arbitrary 15 teams that I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't.
This is his historic seventh place finish on a leaderboard somewhere of some arbitrary stat of a grouping of teams. And okay,
he's
but the yeah, great... but it's the Yankees because I've turned off WFAN. I don't like I would used back in the day before smartphones. I would, I'm in the car. I'm going to turn on the sports talk radio because I don't listen to music and like.
Mm-hmm.
And, so you come across this stuff, but since I've sort of, and I don't get out because I've, kids in local and I'm townie now, but like, I don't come across like the Yankee fans screaming and yelling about the nonsense WFAN stuff, but like, it was hard to avoid with this Judge stuff. And I'm tired of it. I don't want to hear about the Yankees.
He's the greatest home run hitter in Yankee history. Can't we agree at least on that?
Sure. Why not?
We don't care.
Stadium.
I used to do that. I used to push buttons with my Yankees fans when they picked up A-Rod and they said he instantly has become the greatest shortstop in Yankee history. It's just an obnoxious thing to say to a Yankees fan. I honestly don't care about Aaron Judge. It's great. He broke a record. Whoop-de-doo. Good for him. I don't want to see the Yankees advance. And I always put these things in terms of how many obnoxious fans of any given team. I hate the Dodgers. I've hated the Dodgers. I don't know any Dodgers fans. I don't have any friends that root for the Dodgers. Not one. I have friends that are Yankees fans. I don't want to listen to them. I have friends that are Phillies fans. I don't want to listen to them. So that's, those are high on my list. I still hate the Cardinals because of what happened.
Greatest fan in baseball,
the Yankees, like, the National League garbage. Yeah,
it's all the test. The Phillies, that's why I like
the Cardinal way.
To me, the Phillies are just, and this maybe more applies to Pittsburgh, but lately, but like the Philadelphia is the Phillies are the losingest team in like major sports history. Like,
yep,
they've lost more games and they lose more often. Like, for them to lose, it's just right. It means the world is right when they're losing. So like.
For somewhere on Twitter, I came across random, it might be like a this day in baseball history thing or something. And it brought me back to something which I'd completely forgotten about. I don't know if this happened in Washington or in Philly, but it was Jonathan Papelbon and Bryce Harper going at it in the dugout because Bryce Harper didn't run out of fly ball. Do you remember that?
That was fun.
Was his first year in Philly, if I remember.
I think it was
right.
His first year in Philly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I enjoyed that all over again, like it had just happened for the first time. It was fantastic.
That was good stuff. Yeah. So, the Mets have been in the playoffs some, but they haven't been in the playoffs enough. They've played like old hat teams. So I am kind of excited that we're playing the Padres.
Yeah.
We haven't done it before.
Yeah.
I would have been bored of playing like the Cardinals, but then we got the Dodgers again and we play them. So, and I'm also from the same standpoint, I'm rooting for, I guess, the Blue Jays or the Mariners or something on the
One of those underdog teams side. In the AL. I agree with you.
I like the Mariners. The Mariners are kind of cool.
It's been 20 plus years since they made a playoff. Yeah. So good for them.
I'm kind of still a little bristle a little bit. They didn't come through in, what was it, 99 or 2001 and beat the Yankees. But like,
I think
take
it was
down. But
I think it was 01 was the last year that they were in.
It was the last year they were in, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I would really be, I could even be happy to see, I have a friend who's a Guardians fan who grew up in Ohio. And so I would be happy to see those guys in it as well. There's really, I think I would be rooting for any of the, I really dislike the Astros. There's a lot of smarmy, cocky nonsense and they've already won their cheater ring. Yeah, so I would be rooting. I'll be rooting for any of the non-bye week teams in the American League, basically.
The Astros don't bother me, but
I would root for them against the Yankees, of course, but I don't necessarily want to see them win otherwise. So, and honestly, they probably have the best chance of beating the Yankees of all the teams on that side of the board.
Right. If you wanted to play this strategy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the Eagles get knocked off by the Rays or something.
So we got playoff baseball for the first time in 6 years. We got primetime games tomorrow and Saturday. And if there's a game three, it's almost certainly I think I read one possible scenario where the Sunday game could be a 4 p.m. game if some of the other series have ended. But certainly
if two of them have ended, then it would.
Yeah. So games one and two, though, will be in the 7 to 8 p.m. range, which is great because that fits my personal schedule the next couple nights. So I'll be happy to be pulled up in front of my big TV, which does not cost me hundreds of dollars to watch a game on and to watch a Mets playoff game.
That's 8:07 and then 7:37, and who knows if that's the real start time. I like that too. I've got some company coming over Saturday, so we'll see how that goes. I might have to
be looking
the other way.
Yeah, tell them, excuse me, but you're all gonna have to leave now and come back maybe next week, maybe not.
Well, we'll see how anxious I am. Like, if they win the first game, I might be a little less like, okay, like I'll listen as we're saying goodbye and stuff. I can, you know, I'll get there for the second inning. Like,
yeah, my son has a 6:30 p.m. volleyball game tomorrow, but it's a home game, and his school is literally a 2 or 3 minute drive from our house. So assuming goes at a brisk pace, I expect to not miss more than maybe the first 5 to 10 minutes of the baseball game. So,
yeah, I don't have any nighttime sports yet. We're still too young for that. Soccer on Saturday, but that's early, and cheerleading, but that's also early.
But it's exciting. It's great. They made the playoffs. They punched their ticket, and now, you know, we can stop lamenting over what they didn't already do or accomplish, because it doesn't matter. They have to win two games more than they otherwise would have had to win. They have to face teams that they almost certainly would have had to face anyway. Now they would have skirted the Padres and gotten, you know, if they had won, they would have gotten the winner of Philly versus
St. Louis, yeah.
Thank you. St. Louis versus Philly is the 3-6 matchup. So you know, they're gonna play some other good baseball teams, and we're gonna hope that they win, and hopefully the bats can continue to do what they did against the Nationals. Did you watch much of those Washington games? Because I missed every inning of every game.
I watched some highlights, but like I was so dejected or frustrated after like they basically blew the division. I knew it was just tune-up games, and I had stuff to do, and I knew I had more games to watch. Like, if it had been the end of the season, I would have watched them. Like, I'll sat down and get a little more baseball in, but I knew it's just tune-up, especially once the Braves won and actually clinched. Like, the first game, the next one, the second one, like, well, let me pay attention a little bit.
I did doubleheader, yeah.
Yeah. And the rain, too, was a mess. Like, so I didn't know when it was starting, and it was day games and running around. But yeah, I mean, they hit a lot of home runs. They had some fun.
Some guys who hadn't
feel good. Yeah.
You know, Alvarez got his first hit, his first home run, and McCann hit a home run, which he hadn't done in a bit. So you know, I'm trying to find the silver linings where I can. Hopefully that some of these guys were able to find some sort of positive rhythm. Look, somebody's got to catch at least the next 2 days, and preferably somebody who can get a hit in some scenario. Now, I don't know that they put Alvarez behind the plate in a playoff game.
It sounds like they're not doing that, just based on the way.
Yeah.
And I get that. Maybe you don't want your young prospect to continue to wear down catching wise and like grind up. But I mean, from the other standpoint, I feel like if you brought him up 3 weeks ago, you have him catch, you have him get used to the pitching staff, and it's James, you know, McCann and Nito are the guys holding the offense down. If you need it's the biggest gap and it's the lowest bar for him to have to do good versus, you know, Vogelbach having a good year or whatever it is. Like, but fine. Is he going to make the postseason roster? Like, do you need a third catcher? Is that weird? I don't know.
I think the idea is he makes it as a right-handed DH who happens to also in a pinch be able to catch if you need him to. I expect that's the use. I do expect him to make the roster, because who else from the right side of the plate has shown you any kind of anything in the last week? And not that he's done much, but still more than some, you know? So I do expect him to, I don't know, left-handed, would be a right-handed DH tomorrow?
Yeah, but it'll probably be, I forget who's who. Vogelbach and no, you're not gonna play Vogelbach's
garbage. Yeah,
Vogelbach's the lefty guy, right?
Yeah, so it would be Naquin. Is Naquin right-handed? Are we even Mets fans, Mike? How hard are we trying?
I'm so bad. I'm so bad with the roster stuff. I it's one of the things that's, you know, having kids and being distracted. Yeah, and not having
100%.
We're sitting down at 7 o'clock. Like, I don't remember the seventh reliever on the roster. And like,
but what, you know, what the Mets really need is they need someone who is neither right or left-handed, who stands right in the center of the plate and holds the bat straight up over their head like they're an axe about to chop logs through the fireplace, and then swings the bat straight down to avoid having the ball hit him in the chest, and that motivates him to hit.
I don't know the way the Mets. The
maybe is that allowed? Is that legal? Is that allowed?
Can you do
that?
I don't know. If you straddle it, maybe right. As long as one foot is in each batter's box, is that allowed? Maybe that's skirting the rules. But I don't know the way the Mets have stood in the box this year and getting hit by pitches. I think they might be doing that. You might not be able to convince me they're not.
Well, I mean, my hitting coach philosophy is, I will admit, controversial and unorthodox. But there you go. So Tyler Naquin is a
lefty bat. Yeah,
he'll lefty be the bat. As is Vogelbach. So it would be Darren Ruff otherwise. And Darren Ruff is quote unquote hurt with his, but also I read that he's feeling better.
They're full of it. No, Darvish throws right. So you're going with the left.
Oh, so it'll be Vogelbach. Yeah. So that's actually, I have more confidence in him than anyone, you know, his warts and all, still more confidence in him as a DH bat than anyone else who has filled that slot recently. So,
I guess, I mean, he's been okay. I don't know. He had that hot start, and I feel like after that, he's just been like whatever. But
yeah.
But I mean, maybe Alvarez only makes it until Marte is maybe ready. Maybe that's the swap. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't announced it yet, have they?
No, I think they have to announce it 2 o'clock tomorrow. Or no, there's a game. There's probably an X amount of time before game time.
Yeah, it would be sometime earlier in the day, I would think, tomorrow, that they have to release the names of who's going to be on the team. Let's talk.
And it'll all be temporary. It'll be different for the division series with a longer series, but a wild card you need less pitchers. So.
So what are you drinking? What are you drinking tonight, Mike?
So I am drinking. Did I talk about going Tin Barn?
No.
You remember me telling me not. So
maybe.
Maybe. That might have been. Yeah, I don't know. So we went apple picking. I went to Tin Barn. It's a nice brewery upstate, Warwick, New York. That sort of apple picking.
I don't remember this. I don't think
it doesn't sound familiar, right? So Warwick, New York's it's a pretty cool place. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's apple picking. There's a lot of breweries. Tin Barn is one of the ones. It's got a nice place.
Okay.
They had some really good beer. I enjoyed the beer. I enjoyed the pizza. I enjoyed the pretzel. I think I had something else too. Nice. But yeah, so I got beer because that's what I do. You go to a place,
yeah,
get beer, and then you get beer to go, and your fridge is overflowing, and you have to keep up with it.
Beautiful.
But I bought. So this is one they didn't have on. Well, I didn't have on tap. Okay. It's a collab with District 96, which is also in that upstate New York. Well, not upstate New York in terms of you, but my sense of upstate New York is a little.
I grew up not too far from Warwick. I know where Warwick
is. Yeah. So, no, District 96 is right over the border in like Nyack or whatever, yep. Like right by me. So they make burgers. So I haven't been there yet. They're a burger place to make good beer. So this is a New England triple IPA. It's 9.4%. It's called Barn Snake.
Okay.
And it's a triple IPA. I don't know why I went with a triple IPA tonight.
The Mets have the best of three series coming up, so maybe that's
it. It's the best of three series. IPA. It's got some triple IPAs can be a little malty. They can lean towards like a barley wine where they have this like really like intense malt flavor. This one's a little more balanced. It's got, you know, it's still got the hops. It's just like a strong double, but it has some character to it. And I'm actually enjoying it. It's not too much like a. It's 9.4. It's not burning or anything. It's got a nice like, you know, citrusy. A little bit of pine under there. It's going well with my night.
So I swung by another one of the local favorites of mine, Full Bore Brewing, which is in North Syracuse, New York. And this is I got a couple different ones, but just because I hadn't been there in a bit, and I got a variety 4-pack of cans of four different beers, all of which I'd had there before, because I just picked out ones I like. And tonight I'm drinking their chocolate peanut butter porter. It is a 6.9% beer. It's delicious. I've had it many times. They had at one point they had it as a chocolate peanut butter stout, I think, the very first time they made that. The last few iterations of this, it's been a porter. But yeah, it's like I said, 6.9%. It's very smooth. It tastes like damn candy bar treat at the end of the day. It's a dessert beer, and we record this podcast between 9 and 10 p.m. tonight, as we do most nights. So it seemed like a good, as soon as this podcast is done and as soon as this beer is done, this guy is going to bed. I'm going to be tired and try to get a good proper amount of rest so I can stay awake for the entirety of tomorrow's baseball game.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a bit of a drag's not the right word, but you know, national.
No, but it's an 8:07 start plus probably longer commercial breaks than a regular season game. Do they extend those out? I feel like maybe they do.
I think they do. I haven't looked into it, but yeah, probably right. Turns. And a little bit slow, and they'll just, you know, your games drag out because you're a little bit more competitive, which is fine. But yeah, I could see it being 11:45.
Yeah, time. No, I could too. So I'm gonna. Gonna try and get a big rest tonight so that I'm rested up for it. But that's me. What about body? What's my girl drinking today?
New beer alert. Mad Tree Blood Orange Psychopathy. Oh my god, Mad Tree Blood Orange Psychopathy is an immediate toss into the bucket that is filled with expired cans of Budweiser Classic from my fridge from 2013. Ladies and gentlemen, can we get another round of pretty please?
Yeah, I don't think she liked that one.
So I was just trying to decide if she liked it or not, because I'm getting some mixed nuances there. It's hard for me to say.
I think she wants another round of something else is how I read that.
Oh, can we get another round of Pretty Please? Pretty Please. Another round of something else, Pretty Please, or another round of this.
Well, that's Pretty Please is the beer. I mean, I could see a beer to be named Pretty Please.
Oh, there you go. That does make sense. So we don't have any really great episode or Mets who wore number 63. I think that the kid that they just called up
with the Bryce long name,
he threw some fire. He threw the ball pretty hard.
That was impressive.
The Mets have only ever had six guys wear this number, and half of them did it this year. So Zapucki and Zastrzyzny.
Yeah, you're right.
Zelka. Look at that. And Tim Peterson, who I don't recall.
Tim Peterson.
We're going to call this the Bryce Montez de Oca episode. I'm pretty sure.
That's what we're going with here.
Remember
Chris Swindon?
I don't remember Chris. Should I remember Chris Swindon?
I don't know. I remember him being around. He was something. I don't know. He was in the rotation briefly, I think.
Yeah. If you threw that name at me with no context at all, and you said, do you know Chris Swindon? I'd go, yeah, he played for the Mets, didn't he? And I would think I might even be able to tell you that he pitched for the Mets. I feel like I'd have guessed he was a pitcher.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, is a third baseman going to wear that number? Come on, that's crazy. You can't do that.
I don't know. Anybody can wear 63 at this point, right?
Oh, anyone. Yeah, anyone can wear any number. But yeah.
I mean, when you get the assignment numbers, it's usually like the 19th reliever on the roster or whatever it is. It's like.
Yeah, that's why it always confused me with like when really great baseball players, really great pitchers wore like super high numbers, like K-Rod who wore 75 as a Met, or Santana wearing 57. Like, this is some crappy spring training jersey number, and then you just kept it forever because you thought it was lucky or good or whatever. Like,
I think that was Santana's argument, right? They assigned it to him. It was just like, okay, that's my number.
And I don't know if you remember, but when Francisco Rodriguez first came up in the majors, he helped Anaheim win a World Series, and he had barely pitched at all in that regular season. Like, they called him up a week before the season ended, and they made him the closer, and he marched through the playoffs that year. This would have been, you know, obviously before he was a Met. So I could see where that was also how he had gotten his number, if that was a number that he had worn in the spring training. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Same. Yeah. You know, I'm actually surprised when I look at when I start scrolling down and look at some of the higher numbers, that I'm surprised that there aren't more people just like birth year, like, now we're past it, right? But the last 20 years or so, born in like 1984 would have played baseball. Like, well, what am I going to wear? Oh, I was born in 1984. Well, let's do 84. I don't know.
Yeah,
didn't seem to happen though.
There's some slim pickings here for these last.
We're gonna have to like combine guys, and we'll give us our favorite like 6'9" combo.
I was thinking too is nine. What happens when, you know, Lord willing, we get over 100 episodes? Do we start over? And if it's episode number 117, do we look at 17s again? I mean,
we look at our favorite player that hit 117 from the year.
Well, that'd be James McCann, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be James McCann. There you go.
Obviously, my favorite player to wear or to hit any average of under 130.
Says McCann get the opening series start tomorrow, or they give it to Nito.
I think Buck flips a coin. Honestly, I don't know. I think
whoever gets to the park first.
Yeah, exactly. You know, whoever buys him a bigger donut for a snack before the game, I think is going to get the chance to play.
Yeah, so. I lost my tab with the actual like final stats for the Mets, but I think Nino might have ended up with a better like stats of it.
I'm sure he did. I have to think he did.
It wasn't by much, but he had
they're both
down the stretch. Yeah,
they're both pretty bad.
Yeah. So I guess that'll do it. When we talk next week, hopefully the Mets have finished a playoff series, maybe even started another one.
Hopefully,
So let's go Mets.
Let's go beer.